B-Pod Studios.
Act like you've been there before. Not really possible now, is it? But we still gotta get up.
Very well aware of the circumstances we're all living in.
We still gotta move forward. We still gotta be we. Create new rituals. Cook up new potions. Then toast the new normal. New faces.
Our young guys step up.
New places. New Jalen's. Old Jalen's.
Wait. How many Jalen's they got over there anyway?
Never know.
Look, all that matters is we got each other. We got the youngsters looking up at us. We got the legends looking down on us. We got Dallas in our back pocket. Carson's in our front pocket. Carson's in the side pocket. Carson's completely out of pocket. Woo! We got to let the big dog bark. We got to let the young bucks drip.
What does it even mean?
What does it mean?
It means we're getting the band back together. It means living the fly life from day one. It means, okay, fine, no fans in the seats. Well, hell, you didn't sit down anyway. We're still going to fight for what we believe in.
This has been going on for far too long.
And scream so loud, you will feel it wherever you are. So, yeah, come to think about it, we have been there before. Staring down the new dawn and a new day. Ready to show the world how we do. And when we look back on all this, you know what? Never mind. There's no looking back.
Chills, baby. Chills. That's Deuce Daly on the Eagles hype video released by the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. Did you watch the whole thing, Bob? It's incredible.
I did, yeah.
They did a phenomenal job. And there was no better way to get ready for the season than listening to that. Because there's no looking back. I absolutely loved it. And watching all the things that Deuce Daly did in that highlight video they put together and getting some of the local, if you will, locals like Kevin Agati, Colleen Wolf, Ron Jaworski as part of that was just awesome. And I feel like, and I said this a lot yesterday, just going into the NFL season with the kicking off yesterday with the Texans and the Chiefs, and we all watched that last night, and I loved it. I loved every second of it. But watching it last night, it just made me put Eagles in different positions. It made me put Carson Wentz in Patrick Mahomes' position last night. And like I was watching Carson Wentz. Oh, I can't wait for Carson Wentz to do that. I can't wait for Miles Sanders to run like that. I can't wait for Zach Ertz to catch like Travis Kelce was last night, catching a touchdown pass. I can't wait for all that to play out in front of us. And that's when it all starts on Sunday, 1 o'clock against the Washington football team.
There you go. Well, good.
We're going to be waiting. We're going to be waiting with great anticipation. But you have your eye on Darius Slay, or Slay, as he likes to be called. I got my eye on Miles Sanders, and I just can't wait for it to get underway. Even more so than I felt about it yesterday and last night. Even more so now, I can't wait for the milestone, and it feels more like a milestone now that we've made it through this awful period. And we've had some sports. Obviously, we've had baseball, we've had hockey, we've had basketball. But it feels like now with football, we have the closest thing to a normal season, being that we were looking at this date on the Eagles schedule, September 13th, with that anticipation and excitement that if we get to that date, we will be able to breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. We'll be able to still deal with all the realities that we have to deal with in our world, but at least as sports fans, we have the number one outlook and outlet we could have to look forward to, and that's football.
Yeah, we just got to get to Sunday. Hopefully, not to be a downer here, but this is the reality of the situation. Hopefully, we hear nothing about the Houston Texans or the Kansas City Chiefs from last night, right? Mm. As far as the next few days go, as far as tests and anything like that. Hopefully everything remains the way it's been all throughout training camp, where all tests are coming back negative and everybody seems to be doing well. You know, there's just a tinge of, you know, apprehension, I guess, going into Sunday. But I hear you. Last night, that was the most normal I've felt about sports since early March. Mm. And it felt like a normal Thursday night, opening week. You know, I had my fantasy draft, which we do every year the night of the first game.
How do you do that, by the way? I've been meaning to ask you that, because the game is going on as you're doing it.
No. Game starts at like 8:20. We start our draft at 7. Now, I know people will be like, wait, there's no way. So you get 15 players a team. There's only eight of us. We're all sports guys. We've all been in this league together for like 20 years.
Okay.
It's not, Mark, you're up. And then 5 minutes later, Mark, you're still up. No, it's Bob, you're up. Boom. Ed, you're up. Boom. I mean, we draft fast. We were done last night, I'd say 15 minutes before kickoff.
I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah. I'm impressed. Don't mess around.
That's good.
Yeah, Xfinity Live did a great job hosting us.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, we had a fine time.
That's great, man. We hope to be joined by Sal Palantonio momentarily here. Going back to March, I think a lot of people, especially in the first couple days of March, were looking at it and going, all right, well, we were told that we can't have people of more than like 1,500 people in the same area originally. And then it became, you know, what, 21,000 people there for a Flyers game?
Yeah.
And it was, what? And then it was even more people there for the Sixers game. What? And then the next day, everything was shut down. Yeah, last night had a sense of that old normalcy. Even going through these tournaments and playoffs like we did with hockey and we're doing with basketball, it didn't feel the same. Your frustration felt the same, and I know we missed some of that frustration.
Yeah, yeah.
I miss getting upset at the way Joel Embiid was playing basketball, or whether or not he was in shape, or Brett Brown's schemes and rotations, and I missed that stuff. I missed being upset about something that didn't matter as much as what we've been talking about for the previous 3 months. But it was great to have that outlet. And I feel like we finally have that outlet again now that football's back, in terms of something that was normal, something we were looking forward to, something that didn't need some kind of revamping, something that could just start out with no problem. Even baseball, they didn't even start their season, but once they did, it was after more of a labor dispute than it was anything about health or COVID, anything COVID-related.
Yeah.
So that was an infuriating thing. And now I'm glad I took my standpoint on the season before it all even started up, because of the Phillies blowing it again last night, which we'll get to.
Still a playoff team.
Miraculously, but guess what? Football's here, so that's a shame for baseball. But when you think about just looking forward to that date of September 13th, Sunday it's here.
Yeah. By the way, yesterday.
Not in like 3 weeks. Sunday it's here.
First day ever there's been major sporting events in NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, tennis, and golf all in the same day.
Absolutely insane day of sports.
Sportsgasms.
Multiple.
And sports. Then Sunday's going to be even better. Get your cigarettes.
The one guy I'm looking forward to, the one guy I'll be focused. Yeah, that, okay.
Yeah, made it creepy.
Okay. Now the tuxedos seem kind of messed up.
Is that ketchup?
But the one guy that I really will be looking forward to seeing this year, and I'll have probably the biggest microscope on, is Miles Sanders. Bob, who's your guy?
Yeah, I'm going to go the other side of the ball, Darius Slay. I he's labeled the guy that's your shutdown corner. Is it fair to put this much pressure on him? I don't care. I mean, that's what you're brought here for. I just think it'll make the defense so much better if he really is that guy. That guy that another team isn't going to go up. Because, look, 10 catches for 150 yards is the norm against the Eagles over the last couple of years
on
the main receiver. So if he's the shadow guy, I'm looking real forward to that.
And we learned Terry McLaurin real quick last year.
Right.
And he has had his way with Darius Slay the few times they've met. But when you look at a shutdown corner coming in here, I almost feel like people don't believe in it anymore. Hey, if we get something better than what we had, good. But I feel like Namdi and the lack of having a shutdown corner, and even Asante Samuel wasn't a shutdown corner. He was a ball hawk.
Yeah, right.
But you look at Lito Shepherd and Sheldon Brown, that's the last time you can look back at two guys and go, oh, wow, those guys can take a wide receiver out of a game. Not consistently, not every time, but consistent enough to make you have confidence in him. Darius Slay is supposed to be more of that Lito and Sheldon type ilk than anything with Asante Samuel. So it's the first time in over a decade we really have to look back and say, oh, wow, we have somebody we have confidence in taking away the other team's best opponent. And even Sheldon and Lito weren't following the number one receiver around.
No.
That's what Darius Slay's going to be. That's what Slay's going to be doing this season.
Yeah, and, you know, with the defensive line that they have, especially once they all get healthy, if a quarterback looks and sees coverage and he's got to look somewhere else, those guys are going to be there. And that's key, because there probably wasn't a lot of looking off first receivers by opponents against the Eagles over the last few years, because the secondary has been horrible.
It's been pretty god-awful,
yeah.
As a matter of fact. Jamie, who are you looking at mostly? I'm at Miles Sanders. Bob, is it Darius Slay? Who you got?
Those are great ones, and definitely ones I'll be focusing on also. But to not take the same, I'm going to go with Jalen Reagor. I really want to see this kid thrive, because they've struggled with their draft picks at wide receiver. I think this kid's got a chance to be something. So I'm going to focus a lot on him.
I was like looking at I was looking at injury reports yesterday.
Yeah, I saw him full participant. I was like,
I was like, what? No
way. What were you like?
He got the cigarettes, Bob.
Yeah, he got the cigarettes.
And I saw that. I go, oh, this kid's a gamer.
Yeah.
Like, he was maybe supposed to make it back by week two.
Yeah, and then, you know, people have said he's had a stellar camp and he's earned respect already, which means I interpret that as he's come in with an attitude of, I got to prove it.
Mm.
And I'm really excited to watch him play on Sunday.
I can't. In all honesty, yes, I wanted Justin Jefferson. I wanted him in the draft.
Yeah.
I liked him more. And I still think he's going to have a pretty damn good career.
Sure.
But I can't go back and change history.
Nope.
So in watching and following what Jalen Reagor has done in training camp and watching what people have been saying about it, reading about it, and listening to other players talk about him, and you know that kind of wise beyond his years type of mentality, that's been something that I've been looking forward to seeing actually play out on the football field. And him being a full participant at practice yesterday, we'll see what the scouting report, see what the injury report is today, and we'll also see what Doug Peterson has to say today. But when I hear that, when I see that from all the other reports, I get excited to watch a guy like that out on the football field. And when you see a guy be a gamer, if you're a young guy in a locker room and you're looking to prove it, whether you're a first round pick or not, you go out there and play hurt, that's going to catch a lot of people's attention.
You think of all, you know, we talk about the Reagors and we talk about Miles Sanders and Jaws said his guy's DeSean Jackson. Just think of all these things that Carson Wentz has to play with. It's almost like, I feel like you have a quarterback, let's relate it to baseball, that has a 105 mile an hour fastball that he hasn't been able to use because he's been throwing curves and sliders and different things like that. He can open it up now. And Carson Wentz has a huge arm, as we all know. But he hasn't had the targets. You know, Alshon Jeffrey was a, you know, 15, 18 yard down the field guy, jump balls, all that stuff. You didn't have deep, deep threats. You have Zach Ertz, you have Dallas Goedert, you have dump offs to the backs. He's got guys that can go now. And I mean really go. And include Miles Sanders in on that. And Reagor and DeSean Jackson and Hightower. You got some real speed out there. We might see, and I was trying to get this out of Jaws, we might see a Carson Wentz that we haven't seen in his previous four seasons, in that he's going to be throwing the ball deep a lot.
Well, this is where the one thing that's hanging over the season, unfortunately, is in the back of my mind here. And when you hear Adam Schefter, I hate even to use the word predict, but just warn you to expect what's going to happen with soft tissue injuries,
and
especially in the early goings of the season, it does catch your attention, especially when you have built an offense based on speed. Now, as Jaws pointed out at 7 o'clock to us, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs last night, they're built on speed. Their entire game is predicated on speed. They came away from the game fine last night. The Eagles with DeSean Jackson, the Eagles with Jalen Reagor, the Eagles hopefully even with Miles Sanders out of the backfield, predicated on speed. Now, the other part is not nearly as much as the Chiefs, but still they have two guys that everything's based on speed. Greg Ward can be a possession receiver for you. You have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who I know a lot of people forgot existed. He's going to be out there on the football field. He's not built for speed. He's built for hopefully catching the football this year and knowing the playbook. And he's supposed to look even better than he did last year. I am not holding my breath. I got to see it on the football field before I get any ounce of optimism about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
The first time I see him on the line of scrimmage, either looking around or put his arms up in the air, I'm calling a timeout. I'm putting him on the bench and saying, "You're done."
I don't think anyone.
I don't know how many times we saw that last year with their wide receivers, and then Arcega-Whiteside was one of them that they just didn't know where they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. He'll be an interesting one to follow too.
Yeah,
Arcega-Whiteside.
I'm not holding my breath. Because everything,
no, neither am I.
Everything that was said this year, we said last year.
Yeah.
And going down to training camp last year, watching them practice, oh, wow, this guy uses his body well.
But he's got arm sleeves now.
He got what? I'm sorry?
He's got the neoprene sleeves on. So he took his swag up.
Oh, is that what
you? Yeah, so let's hope it translates.
Well, Deuce does say in the hype video, you got to let the young boys drip.
Mm.
And that might be his way of dripping.
Yeah, he looks like he's dripping.
How excited do you think OBJ was to have Deuce Staley, you know, be the narrator of that? He's probably all over it.
Probably. He's a big fan of him. Big fan of Deuce.
What are you talking about, Bob?
He said that that's his idol. Growing up, Deuce was his idol. So,
Robert.
That's good.
Robert.
I couldn't draft OBJ last night in my I swear to God, I was like, I should look at him here, and I can't.
I wanted to make a joke on Twitter about the Phillies bullpen and Odell Beckham, like a big fan of it. I was like, ah, ship sailed, I think. For Twitter, the Twitterverse, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when I look at all the things the Eagles could bring to the table offensively, it still makes me think, how much of Jason Peters are we going to get this year? Even last year, we had this question going into it. This year, he went unsigned. Like, nobody signed him. And the Eagles were like, okay, we'll sign you. And then they gave him more money to move from right guard to left tackle. And now we're in this situation where it's like, okay, going into last year, we didn't feel all overly confident in Jason Peters. But yet, here we are. And now this year, a guy that literally went through the whole offseason without being signed by any other team was only signed by the Eagles. All right. Great. So that's what we're going to have to wait and see to see how that plays out tonight. Also, Matt Pryor being your starting right guard, that's another big question mark. But going into tonight, going into Sunday, if that offensive line can hold their ground, I think you're going to see great things. And here's the other part. Even if they struggle, you have guys like DeSean Jackson and Jalen Reagor, who I believe, but more so DeSean because he's proven, can run those short routes for you and get you those you those yards after the catch. And if they can do that for you, if you got to rely on quick passes out of the backfield, if you got to rely on three-step drops because your offensive line is being beat, I think at the same time they have not only the tight ends, but they also have quick wide receivers to get open for Carson Wentz in those rush situations.
Yeah, I mean, if you're defense going against the Eagles, before it was, all right, double Ertz, and you can go one-on-one on the outsides, even if it's Alshon Jeffrey, good receiver, but he's not going to beat you for anything long. You know, that was kind of the design that you went against Eagles. Now what do? Do you go one-on-one if you don't double-team Ertz? I mean, if you do double-team Ertz, one-on-one with DeSean, one-on-one with a guy with the speed of Reagor, you know, one-on-one with a guy with the speed of Hightower, you got some real good stuff going on here. And you know, maybe Ward can do some things on one-on-one coverage in the middle. Carson's got so many weapons. I'm really excited to see how they use them this year.
Yeah, I feel like anytime we get really excited about the offense, I set myself up for disappointment. and I don't want to put a hex on them. Not that I overly believe in those, but it just feels like going into this season with a lot that has gone wrong already, in terms of expectations not being met, whether that be with the Met, whether that be with the Flyers, whether that be with the Sixers. I really feel like this offense can do a lot of damage in the NFL this year. Now, defensively speaking, I'm talking about Miles Sanders on the offensive side of the ball. We're talking about question marks in the offensive line. The other guy that we haven't mentioned yet that has something to prove here, and it's the guy playing opposite Darius Slay. It's Avante Maddox. Avante Maddox is the one guy. I mean, Jalen Mills moving from corner to safety, but he played safety in college, so it's like reverting back to old ways, whatever it might be. But when you think about a guy like Avante Maddox, who was not highly touted, a guy that was not looked at as someone who's going to be a future corner, a starting corner for this team, but has capitalized on his opportunities, and now he's getting rewarded for that in a starter's role. He's a guy that a lot of people might be looking at opposite Darius Slay, saying he's got the most to prove because he's got to prove that he's worth the starter position. Yeah, sure, Jalen Mills might have to prove that he could be a safety in the NFL. I think most people looked at how he liked to play a physical style of corner and say he's more suited to be a safety anyway, so now he's finally in a more comfortable position. But Avante Maddox is just being asked to, he's played the slot in his career, he's played the safety position in his career. He has worked through all of it, and the Eagles are rewarding him, saying, guess what? You have earned this position of being the starting corner opposite Darius Slay. I can't say left or right, because Darius Slay is supposed to follow the number one target on the other team.
Right.
But Avante Maddox has a lot to be asked of him. A lot to be asked of him this year, and we'll see if he can keep that starter role going for himself.
Yeah, and he seems to have the personality, both on the field and off the field. Like, we had him on this show after he was drafted, and he just had that dynamic, yeah, I'm ready. I know I'm small. I know, you know, undersized, but I got this, which a lot of athletes do. But we all came away from that interview with him, all of us talking to each other, saying, wow, this kid's kind of got it. And then you watch him on the field, and I think it was the Jacksonville game when they played over in London, where he had a big, big tackle on a third down play where Jacksonville was driving a little bit, stopped that, and then forced a fumble later. He's kind of a big play guy. He's okay to take a chance to make a play as opposed to sitting back. He's not your typical sticks guy. That's how I label him. I don't know if Darius Slay's going to be a typical sticks guy. Mm. I don't know if that's something Jim Schwartz kind of throws away a little bit because you have two new corners who seem to want to make plays as opposed to just let the ball stay in front of them.
All right, we're going to try to link up with Sal Pal. Don't know what happened there, so we'll try to get him on the program before we're out of here at 10 o'clock. But basically, when we come back, we're going to let you hear from Zach Ertz one more time. We also have all the takes lined up for you with our dear friend Pat Egan coming up in a minute. 610-632-0975. Want to get in on the program. Time of the Fanatic is 8:21.
If you find yourself in the market for a car like I did, I highly recommend North Penn Volkswagen on Route 309 in Colmar. And right now, Volkswagen is offering 0% financing for 72 months on most models. The selection of vehicles made it easy to find exactly what I was looking for. I worked with a guy, Matt, and he helped me shop from home, essentially, in my underwear. You can shop online, appraise your trade, schedule service, apply for credit, and so much more, all from the comfort of your own home. North Penn Volkswagen in Colmar was a breeze to get to, right off Route 309 Bethlehem Pike. There's never been a better time to buy a new Volkswagen, with great lease deals and 0% financing for 72 months on most new vehicles. Go to NorthPennVW.com for more info and check out the extensive certified pre-owned and new inventory. You may also qualify for the Volkswagen College Grad Bonus Program. My wife was eligible, really helped out. Eligible for up to 2 years after graduation when you purchase or lease through Volkswagen Credit. For more information and to schedule an appointment, go to NorthPennVW.com. North Penn Volkswagen, the right experience, the right choice.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Still looking to touch base with our friend Sal Palantonio. 9 o'clock and we'll be joined by Sean O'Hara, NFL Network. He'll be breaking down all the things that could go wrong or go right for that Eagles offensive line and what he makes of the whole Lane Johnson freeing up space for Jason Peters to get a little bit of a pay bump there. So we'll have that conversation coming up at 9 o'clock with Sean O'Hara. But we've been talking a lot about that Zach Ertz deal that may or may not happen. Now, when we talked to Ron Jaworski about it, he doesn't see it happening. He said he can't pay everybody. Before we even went to Jaws, I said, as much as I hate to say it, because I love Zach Ertz, and it seems like he doesn't get a lot of love from the Philadelphia fan base. They catch and fall down, whatever, all this, that, and the other. But coming up in a minute, we'll let you hear Zach Ertz, because he was speaking very plainly as to the relationship between him and the front office when it comes to getting a new deal done. So we'll get to that in a second. But joining us right now in this 8 o'clock hour, which is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers, visit paworkinjury.com. Joining us in the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, Sal Palantonio joins us. Happy football season, Sal.
Oh, I can't believe it's here. Football Friday. Week one is here. It's amazing.
So glad we could get you on, man. I look forward to it. When we talked to Jaws at 7, to talk to you now, it really does feel like football season. Do you look at it as a milestone for a lot of the Philadelphia sports fans, national sports fans, to finally have football back?
Well, you know, it's they had to move heaven and earth to get to that point. And I got to tell you, last night was a wonderful performance. It was an inspiring performance to see those players play. In a pandemic, people don't understand what it takes to go on the road right now. I mean, I've been on the road. I've seen what's out there, how difficult it is to navigate. And you got to give credit to the NFL and the NFL Players Association for putting this thing together and making it happen. The decision by the NFLPA, Mark, to push for daily testing was a stroke of genius. And the fact that they pushed and pushed and held the NFL's feet to the fire to make it happen was very, very important, because they created a bubble within a bubble and made these players understand that you have to do the right thing in August if you want to play football in September. And they pulled it off to have 40,000-plus tests between August 30th and September 5th and have only one positive test among a player is really remarkable. But now comes the hard part, right? Now these players have to go outside their bubble, their own little space, and go on the road. And that is going to be a big test. Because I got to tell you, when you're on the road, you have a lot of fear and apprehension. You go into a hotel, you're very cognizant of what you touch, who you interact with. It'll be very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Sal Palantonio, so Sal, to take maybe even more doubt out of it, hopefully, some people are looking at this season saying, yeah, they started, but will they finish? Will this season finish in the NFL?
That's a really tough question to answer. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, we're now beginning a phase where everybody's going to go on the road. So the Eagles are going down to Washington. They've made that trip a million times, but they've never made it in the middle of a pandemic with 70 pages of protocols just for me to cover the game. at FedEx is a 26-page protocol and guideline from Disney and ESPN and the NFL total. So I can't imagine what kind of stuff the NFL players have to go through just to put on a game on the road. And just think about the Rams next week, having to come all the way across the country from L.A. to play in Philadelphia. You know, that's going to be the big test, is how the players react to the fear and apprehension once they're on the road, once they have to go home after they're on the road. Now, have you stayed in a hotel, Mark?
Recently, no, not since the pandemic.
Yeah, right, I'm saying.
No.
So have you, since the pandemic, have you stayed in a hotel?
No, I have not.
Have you flown on a plane?
I have not.
Right, so this is, and there's a reason why the hotel industry is, you know, at 30% capacity, why the airline industry is at 25% capacity, because people don't want to do it. They don't want to go on the road. And these players are going to finally have to go on the road, and this is going to be a big, big test. And I'm interested to see what the next couple of weeks are. But so far, they passed the flying colors last night.
If you would have told me a couple of months ago that not only was football going to start on time, but you would even have fans in the season opener in Kansas City, I would have said you're crazy, but yet somehow they were able to pull that off. Gives me even more confidence that they will start and finish. And we're hoping right now, Sal, when they do that, the Eagles, they start well, they finish well. What do we have in this Eagles team this year? What's your overall viewpoint of this Eagles team?
Well, I think the overall viewpoint is sort of back to the future. They drafted Jalen Reagor, number one, in the first round to bring some speed and options to the offense to add an extra component. He got hurt, and they had to go back and sign Richard Rodgers, and maybe we're going to see two tight ends in a cloud of dust for the first couple of weeks, depending on whether he's going to get out on the field on Sunday and what kind of impact he's going to have and how long he's going to stay on the field. I mean, that's really crucial. How long DeSean Jackson will stay on the field. Remember, after they left the football field, losing in the wild card game to Seattle, there was a conscious effort to remake the offense. Offensive coordinator fired. Receivers coach fired. They brought in Marty Morningwig. They brought in all kinds of consultants to help the offense change. They look at Andy Reid's offense. You look at that offense last night. It's like they're playing on a different playing field completely. So much speed, so many components to what they do. You know, the safeties decided they weren't going to get beat deep last night. So what did Patrick Mahomes do? He handed the ball off to their new running back and wound up winning the game easily. So the Eagles are going to have to figure out what they're going to do offensively, what kind of profile they're going to have. And I agree with Jaws. I just listened to Jaws on your show. I agree with him. I am very concerned about the offensive line. I'm very concerned about the age of DeSean Jackson and how this whole thing will look once Jalen Reagor comes back.
So are we going to notice, are we going to see a noticeable difference with this offense with exactly what you talked about, the consultants, the speed you've added, and for the first time, Carson Wentz has a dynamic running back behind him. Is he going to look different this season?
Well, again, I don't know whether they're going to look different in the first 2 weeks because of the injury to Jalen Reagor. Reagor was an important component to what they wanted to do. And him knocking out his shoulder in that scrimmage at Lincoln Financial Field, you know, now they have to change the offense on the fly to get ready for Washington. And the fact that the offensive line has injuries, and as Jaws mentioned, they have such a great defensive line in Washington. Ryan Kerrigan has always given Lane Johnson problems, even when Lane Johnson was healthy. And we don't know the health of Lane Johnson completely. How long is he going to last on the field? Will we see Jason Peters play four quarters? So I don't know what the offense is going to look like for the first couple of weeks, until they get the injury bugs ironed out.
Speaking with Sal Palantonio, we asked Jaws the same question. I want to ask you this as well. When it comes to that Jeff McClain article that came out about possibly undermining Doug Peterson's authority within the front office, how much autonomy, how much power does he have in making personnel decisions, especially with his coaching staff?
Right. I read the article, and I think that the bottom line is this. They looked at what happened in the Seattle game. the two Seattle games, and then they saw what happened in the Super Bowl with Andy Reid and that offense, and they realized they had to make changes. They had to get younger and faster on offense, a more open offense, much more wide open. And I think Doug Peterson understood that. And sometimes, you know, when you're making changes, it's difficult because you're attached to certain guys. Doug Peterson was very close to Groh. And so those kinds of changes sometimes get forced on people. And I think that's exactly what happened here. I think they all decided in the end that they wanted to get faster and younger, and sometimes it was fits and starts. If you're asking me, does Doug Peterson have control? He has control like any head coach. He has to listen to his general manager. He has to listen to his owner. And he has to make changes based on what his boss says. So do you, so do I.
Mm-hmm. We all got to concede to that. I hear that. Now, the other issue facing the Eagles, maybe not right now, but maybe next year. But it seems like Zach Ertz is pushing the envelope a little bit right here with his contract status. How do you think this whole thing gets resolved between the Eagles and Zach Ertz?
Don't know. Good question. I think when you look at the Eagles' salary cap situation, Mark, especially next year, it's not good. Especially if the salary cap is going to go down based on the fact that they're not going to have as much revenue in the NFL because fans are not going to be in the stands. So that's one factor. Two, we've been talking for the last 10, 12 minutes about the fact that they want to get younger and faster.
Right.
Okay. Do the math on that with Zach Ertz.
Yeah, that's why I'm not optimistic about it, Sal.
Right. So last year, they led the NFL in two tight end sets, 508 snaps. And they looked at what happened in the Seattle game. And they looked at what happened in the Seattle game during the regular season. And they saw what Andy Reid did this year, the ball. They said, we got to get younger and faster. So that's where they have to put their resources. And that's where they have to put their money. So people need to realize exactly that. Is Zach Ertz George Kittle, Mark?
No, he is not.
Or is he Travis Kelce?
No, he is not. more of Travis Kelce, but not him.
Okay, so, you know, you have to figure out where you are if you're Zach Ertz. And you have to figure out where you are if you are the Eagles and you want to get younger and faster. It is, of course, a business. And sometimes you have to make those decisions. Now, going back to the Peterson thing, because I think, you know, the bottom line is Doug Peterson is not the problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's not.
I agree.
But, okay. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he did it with a backup quarterback against arguably the best coach in the history of the game. And Doug Peterson's not the issue. So I think when, you know, people go after him, whether it's in the press or in the media, and they draw all kinds of conclusions about how much power he doesn't have or does have. You know, he works within the framework of an organization, but they, the Eagles, Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, Don Smolenski, the partners of the team, just gave him a huge lucrative extension for a reason. They understand the value that Doug Peterson has to the team. He's invaluable to the team. The Eagles don't win their first and only Super Bowl title without Doug Peterson. It just doesn't happen. And also, people have to understand this, right? So there have been four teams that have made the playoffs three straight years. They are Belichick and the Patriots with Tom Brady, arguably best quarterback head coach combination in history. Sean Payton and Drew Brees, a very good quarterback head coach combination. Andy Reid with the NFL MVP Patrick Mahomes, and Doug Peterson with a cast of characters, a cast of characters at quarterback and wide receiver. It is miraculous that they went on a 4-game win streak at the end of the season and made the playoffs for the third straight year. Only one of four teams in the league to make. And that doesn't happen without Doug Peterson. So I would really hope that people, when they read that piece, look at it with a skeptical eye. Peterson is not the issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, I 100% agree. And Sal, we're about to take a moment of silence for the anniversary of 9/11, but I really appreciate you coming on with us, and we hope to talk to you again later in the football season, my friend. Thanks so much. And good luck to you in all your travels. Stay healthy.
Hey, never forget, man. Never forget.
Never forget.
Thanks, Sal.
The great Sal Palantonio joining us right there on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Now, there is going to be a national moment of silence for about 15 seconds coming up in a little bit here when the North Tower was hit at 8:46 a.m. on September 11th, 2001. And we are going to observe that moment of silence again, 15 seconds, starting right now on the anniversary of 9/11. Thank you very much for observing that moment of silence with us. And it's going on across the nation right now. And we talked about it earlier in the show where we all were at that time. And I was in college, and I'll never forget just seeing this look on people's faces like they couldn't believe what they were seeing. And it was down the hall. And I walked in to see what everyone was staring at. And it was a TV screen. And I swear, I thought, was this some kind of class where they're watching a movie? What is this? And I saw the North Tower smoking. And I thought it was a movie. What is this? And then obviously it wasn't. I saw the second plane hit. And then that's when I think a lot of people, and I was included in all of it, just thinking this is very real and something is happening that's very serious. Then you started to hear about the Pentagon. You started to hear about what happened in Pennsylvania as well. And it was all part of this plan to attack America.
Yeah.
And I never felt more vulnerable as an American than in that exact moment. I never felt more vulnerable. And I know a lot of people felt the same way. Bob, where were you when everything happened?
Yeah, I was home. Kyle, my third son, my third child of four. Anyway, he was a little kid. I was painting a room. It was early in the morning. Two other kids were off to school. Jenna wasn't around yet. And yeah, I had the TV on. I knew it happened, heard that it happened, couldn't understand it. And then to see the second plane do it and remember calling Donna at work and just saying, you know, we're under attack. I got to get the kids. And just a horrible, horrible day. And you know, there are a few moments in your life that you'll remember forever, you know, but that whole day is crystal clear to me of exactly what happened in an awful way. And, you know, it's just a horrible tragedy.
I just remember everyone on campus leaving and trying to get on phones and call. And cell phones weren't brand new at the time.
Yeah.
They weren't nearly as good as they were now. And people trying to get on the line with everybody and trying to just, hey, are you all right? What are you up to? Did you see this? What you know, anybody in New York, if you knew anyone, people were making that phone call.
Oh, yeah.
And Jamie, you were actually in D.C. in college.
Yeah, I woke up that morning. You know, it was around this time, 8:46. And, you know, one of my friends who was on the football team lived across the hall from me, came running over and was like, dude, we're under attack. Wake up. And me and my roommates were still like asleep. And I mean, that's the most jarring way to ever wake up ever.
We're under attack.
Yeah. The country's under attack. And like I said earlier, another friend of ours ended up losing his father that day and he lived right next to us. So we all kind of gathered with him. We watched the news footage. We were in a state of shock. And obviously, you know, being like 2 miles down North Capitol Road from the Capitol building, there was a nervousness because, you know, we thought there was once the second hit and we understood we were really under attack. Mm-hmm. It was a real sense of uneasiness and it was uncomfortable being in D.C. But, you know, you couldn't help but think of the kid next to me seeing somebody go through it that had, a family member directly affected by it. Is something I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. It's seared in my memory forever. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Again, the feeling that I still have when every anniversary when I look back on it is vulnerable.
Yeah.
And like that was like a time. Like I grew up in the 90s. You know, America's sure. Star-Spangled. Everyone loves us. Like that's the feeling you had, right? And like in 2001, in 2000, and 9/11, you felt like, oh my God, what? And again, because I was 18, 19 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. It was like I had that, almost naivete about the world.
Sure.
And it was, no, this stuff is real. Stuff is very real when that happened. I never felt more vulnerable than in that moment.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. When we come back, 9 o'clock, top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Sean O'Hara. We're going to do all the takes for you coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, probably at 9:30, and we'll make sure we hit every topic that we had talked about today and a few others, including one of the lighthearted nature. which has to do with a Philadelphia athlete getting injured while they were putting on their pants.
Are they tight pants?
We had one person assume yeah. that maybe they were trying to help Jake Arrieta out. We'll get that in as well coming up in a minute. On this Football Friday, and Football Fridays are brought to you by AAA. Wherever the open road may lead you or may take you, take AAA. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic, 851.
Hey guys, Bob Cooney here. And guess what we get to do this weekend? Well, we can go against America's team this Sunday night. That's because FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving you the chance to get an even bigger win when you bet on L.A. versus Dallas. That's right. For every 5,000 fans who bet on L.A. to cover the spread, FanDuel Sportsbook will move the line 1 point in L.A.'s favor. As long as enough fans keep betting, the line will keep moving. And best of all, FanDuel will pay you out at whatever the line lands at by kickoff, so you don't have to wait to get in on the action. This is a complete no-brainer. What a bet this is. Plus, we know Dallas is going to lose, so take L.A. on Sunday night. If you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, just look for the Spread the Love market to place your bet. And if you've been holding out, then here's your chance to start betting on FanDuel Sportsbook with incredible odds. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code Bob. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Bob. 21 or older and present in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Must wager in designated crowdfunding market. Max wager $50. Payout at -110. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.